نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. قال جل وعلا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال جل وعلا: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اغترم خمسا قبل خمس: شبابك قبل هرمك، وصحتك قبل سقمك، وغناك قبل فقرك، وفراغك قبل شغلك، وحياتك قبل موتك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers and little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week I began talking about the dangers of the modern technology. The smartphone, the social media, the internet. And I was making a mention of how dangerous it can be if you've gone online with a good intention. And I gave you an example of when a person goes online to learn the deen of Allah. There's nothing better than this. So you've gone online for a good intention, learning the deen of Allah, and I gave you examples of how that can lead to dhalal, how that can lead to irtidad, leaving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. And I finished off by saying that we need to be very, very careful, that we take our deen from our local scholars and those that they recommend online. We listen to the lectures of those scholars that our local scholars recommend online, and we visit those websites that our local scholars recommend. Today I want to talk about when you've gone online, not for a good reason. You've gone online not for something good, something that's mabah in Islam. Now mabah is something in which you don't get any reward, and it's something in which you don't get guna. So you don't get reward, you don't get guna. For example, you're chit-chatting on social media, or you're sending WhatsApp messages on your Samsung iPhone. Just normal dunyawi chit-chat online. You're reading tweets, you're sending tweets. I mean, look what this world's come to, and what this human beings come to. That in this day and age, and how true it is, may يُذْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَذِيَ لَهُ. You know, whoever Allah keeps, whoever Allah leads astray can never be guided. And who Allah keeps blind can never see. I mean, look at what the dunya has got to in this day and age. You'll have people like Kim Kardashian and the likes. They'll tweet something like, let's say, I've broken wind today. Something nonsense like this. I've broken wind today. I'm going to blow up. And you know what? People like you and me will read that tweet and we'll retweet that. People like you and me will read that tweet and we will retweet that. This is why I say, you know, if Allah keeps you blind, you can never see. And if Allah leads you astray, you can never be guided. My young friends, if that is not a waste of life, then what is? I mean, I've just given you one example. I can give you hundreds. I can give you real life examples of what people retweet, but I haven't got the time for it. Not today. What's happening? I mean, is this why Allah has created you and me? Why did Allah create us to do this? To live our life like this? You and I are from the best of Allah's creation. Allah has given you and I superiority over many of His creation. Allah says, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمِ. We honored the son of Adam. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Allah said, you know, to this son of Adam, we gave him superiority over many of our creations. Allah says, لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. This human being to whom Allah has given superiority, why did Allah create him? Why did Allah place him on this dunya? Every single thing within this universe, there's not a single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created for a particular purpose. The heavens, Allah created for a reason. There was a maqsad behind the creation of the heavens. There was a maqsad, a reason as to why Allah created this dunya. There's a reason as to why Allah created the stars. There's a reason as to why Allah created the moon. Allah created the sun, the rivers, the seas, the oceans, the trees. Every single thing within this universe has been created for a particular reason. There's a maqsad behind its creation. You and I as human beings, whatever we make, invent, there's a reason behind it. There's not a single thing that's been invented, made, that has wujud at this moment in time, which this human himself has made, that doesn't have a purpose behind it. I'm sitting on this carpet. It was made for a purpose. I'm leaning against this member. It was made for a purpose. My friend Raheem's wearing a watch. This human being made for a purpose. My brother there's wearing glasses. This human being made this for a purpose. I'm looking at the clock in front of me. There's a chandelier right in front of me. This human being made it for a purpose. There's a camera recording me. This human being made it for a purpose. Every single thing that this human being, he's made for a purpose. Everything that Allah's created, Allah created for a purpose. I ask you, my young friends, this human being to whom Allah gave superiority, and that is from amongst Allah's best creation, then why did Allah create this human being? And why did Allah place him on the earth? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you and I think that everything's created for a purpose, everything you and I we make is for a purpose, but you and I, Allah's created is abath? Do as you please, when you know, do as you please, when you please, how you please, live life like animals, there's no accountability. Do what you like, when you like. Is that what we think? That there's no maqsad behind our creation? My young friends, whoever thinks this, then he's wrong. You and I, Allah created, Allah places on this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose. What is our purpose? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. You may think your purpose is this, and you can spend your entire life doing that particular thing. You can think what you like, it doesn't matter. The reason that Allah created you was, and this is the only reason, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And that is that you acknowledge Allah, you believe in Allah, and you worship Allah. And that's how you spend every single day of your life. Every single day of your life, from morning till evening, till your last breath, this should be your primary concern, and this should be your primary objective. That is the purpose, worship. Now let me ask you and ask myself, this is the purpose that Allah created you and I for, is to worship. How much of this life that Allah has given you have you spent worshipping your master? How much of this life? Let's say you live 60 years. This life that Allah gave you of 60 years, how much of this life did you actually spend worshipping your Lord? Let us look at this example. Let me break it down for you. Let's say you live hypothetically for 60 years. The first 15 years of your life, I will say disregard. The first 15 years of your life, I will say disregard, because you know, for the first 15 years of life, you and I didn't even know what our purpose in life was. What did we do as children? The only thing that we did and children do is play. You wake up in the morning looking for your toys, your cars, your dolls, whatever it may be. You spend the day playing with your toys, your bikes, and whatever the toys that you have. And at night, you play with your toys, balki. You would take your teddy bears or your dolls or your cars, whatever, with you to sleep. That is the only thing that occupied our minds as children. So forget the worship for the first 15 years of life. So out of 60 years of life, take away 15. How many years have you got left? 45. 45 years left out of 60. Now the average guy works 8 hours a day. Average guy will work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. 8 hours a day is a third of a day. You have 24 hours in a day. 8 hours is a third of a day. So you spend a third of the day working for your dunya. For your dunya. So you can survive in this dunya. For a good life in this dunya, you and I work for 8 hours a day, an average guy. So it's 8 hours a day. It's a third of a day, a third of a week, a third of a year, a third of your life you were working for the dunya. A third of your life, you had 45 left. A third of 45 is 15. 45 minus 15. You are left with how many years? 30 years. From 60, you've got down to 30. The average guy sleeps 8 hours a day. Every day, 7 days a week. Again, simple maths. 8 hours a day, it's a third of a day, a third of a week, a third of a year, a third of your life you spend sleeping, resting. Again, a third was 15 years. So you had 30 left. Take away 15. You're left with 15 years. You started from 60. You have 15 left. Now, you work for 8 hours a day, but you leave your home to get to work. It takes time. Every single day when you finish work and you clock out, it takes time to return. So take away an hour a day for that. You're left with 14. Every single day you will eat 3 meals a day. Your breakfast, your lunch, and your supper. Take away an hour for that. You're left with 13. Every single day you're on your mobile phone, social media, the internet. Take away time for that. Every single day when you come back home, you put on the TV. Maybe watch a movie or two. Football, whatever it may be, sports. Take away some time for that. Every single day you'll socialize with your wife, your children, family members, mother, father, neighbors. Take away time for that. Every now and then you'll go down to some restaurant with your family to eat. Nawabs, Mumtaz, take away time for that. Some of you enjoy your sports, the gym. Some of you visit the gym every single day. Take away time for that. Take away time away from your football. Let me ask you, my young friend, how much of life do you have left? Nothing. Nothing. And you know what? That's more or less every single one of us, except the one who Allah guides. This is the way we're living our life. 60 years of life, and it all came to an end. And you didn't even acknowledge Allah. And Allah placed you on this dunya one and one reason only. And that is that you worship Him. And you can say what you like to Him on the Day of Judgment. Do you think you're going to get away with it? Never in a million years. Let me ask you and ask myself, what will your answer be when you stand before the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi? On a day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry like never before. لَيْسَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There will be no barrier between you and Allah. There will be no veil between you and Allah. There will be no curtain between you and Allah. You will stand directly in front of the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi. The one and only power. That being, you know, when he seizes, there is no being. إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. There is no being that can seize and punish like him. And you will stand. And you will not move. لَن تَزُولَ قَلَمَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ أَرْبَعٍ أَنْ أُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى وَأَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ وَأَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ. You will not move till you do not answer certain questions. Question number one will be with regards to your life. Question number two will be with regards to your youth. Question and number three will be with regards to your mal, your wealth. And question number four will be with regards to your knowledge. What will your answer be? You know, last week at the school, I teach Quran Tarjuma. It was assessment week. I was taking an exam. So the children were coming to one by one. I was telling them, I want you to read from here. And they would read. Two of the children, I noticed that when they were reading to me, their fingers were shaking. They were putting their hands on the Quran, they're translating, but their fingers were like, you know, uncontrollably shaking. So I stopped the child. I said, I don't understand, why are you shaking? I said, you know what? I've never ever said anything to you. I've never ever raised my voice. I just can't understand why your fingers are shaking. And even though I highlighted this and I pointed this out to him, his fingers are still shaking. I said, why are you shaking? He says, I don't know. I said, let me tell you why you're shaking. He said, let me tell you why you're shaking. I said, I bet, you know what? You didn't revise properly. So you don't know your stuff. And out of fear that today's my test, I'm going to fail, that's why you're shaking and panicking. And I said to him, and I addressed all the students in the class, I said, look at this young individual. Look at this hala, look at this scenario. He's afraid of me and I'm a nobody. I'm a human being just like him, there's no difference. I don't have the power to do anything to him. What can I do if this child fails this test? Nothing other than make him reset it. I can't punish him in any way, form, or manner other than ask him to redo the test. And look at his situation with me. So as a reminder, I said to the children, reminding myself, I asked, what do you think it will be like if you and I fail short in terms of the dunya, what we should be doing, and then we stand before our master on the day of judgment? What do you think will happen? You know, when the anbiya will be afraid to approach Allah and they never wronged him, what will become of you and me? What will your answer be when you stand before Allah? This, كَلَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا رَبِّي رَجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, send me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Okay, Allah, give me another chance. I'll go back in the dunya. Let me go back and I'll prove it to you. I'll believe and I'll fast and I'll pray and I'll fall in prostration and I won't even raise my head till my last breath. Oh Allah, I'll do this. Do you think He'll allow you to do it? Do you think He'll allow you to do it? كَلَّا. Never, never in a million years. This is just words that they'll say. Once you've gone, then there's barzakh till you're resurrected, and then you will stand before your master and it will be payday. It will be payday. This is why my young friend, il tanim khamsan qabla khamsin. Take advantage of this life. Take advantage. Shababaka qabla haramik, your youth, you're young at this moment in time. There's so much that you can do. You can elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. You can help to build masajid, madaris. Do it now before you become old. You're going to struggle even get to the masjid. وَصِحَتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقْمِكَ. You're well at this moment in time. Take advantage of it before you become ill. When you become paralyzed, do you think you're going to be able to get to the masjid? Never mind the masjid, you're going to struggle to perform wudu. Take advantage of your wealth before you become poor. Take advantage of your free time before you become occupied. Take advantage of this life before you go. You only live once. This life is not for retweeting and reading, you know, nonsense. And the examples of which were already given. Look at our Salaf al-Salihin and the regard and the value that they had for time and their life. You had a man called Hafiz al-Munziri, Hafiz al-Hadith. His work al-Targhib wa al-Tarhib is famous, taught in Madaris. This man would only leave the madrasa on a Jummah. For a Jummah. He would only leave the madrasa for a Jummah. Otherwise, he'd stay in the madrasa day as well as night. His son was a master of hadith. And you know when his son died, and his son died young, he offered his janazah inside the madrasa, and then he escorted the body to the external door. And when he got to the external door, he started crying, tears began to flow from his eyes. And he addressed his son and said, now my son, I leave you in the hands of Allah. He did not attend the burial of his own son. Because you know, these people, they were that focused in terms of the Akhirah. The way they would analyze things is they would look at every second of their life and they would look at what will give me a better return in terms of the Akhirah. And that's where they would spend every second in life. And this is why Imam Abu Yusuf, when his son died, he offered his janazah, but he didn't participate in his burial in case he missed the lecture of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah. There were people there that could bury his son, but there were no people there that could teach him the lesson of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah if he missed it. You had people like Ubayd ibn Ya'ish. Ubayd ibn Ya'ish was the teacher of Imam Bukhari and Muslim put together. For 30 years, this man, would not eat with his own hands. He says, I couldn't afford to waste a second. He would write the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ while his sister would take the morsels and feed him and put the morsels inside his mouth. And like, you know, eating is not luxury, it's a necessity. You have to eat to survive. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimullah, the student Imam Hanifa rahimullah, you know, he's in his last throes on the verge of leaving this world, and he's discussing masail, religious problems.
his student Qadi Ibrahim al-Kufi came to visit him. And Qadi Ibrahim al-Kufi said, I went there, he was unconscious. When he gained consciousness, the first thing he said to me, O Ibrahim, what is your opinion with regards to such a such a mas'ala? So he said, I said to him, Ki Abu Yusuf, in this state, where you can't even keep your head upright, and you want to discuss masail, religious problems, Imam Yusuf is saying, okay, there's nothing wrong with this, it'll benefit someone. And then he asked me, tell me, what is superior when it comes to pelting the shaitan? Should you do it marshian or rakiban? Should you do it walking or riding? So he says, I said riding, he said wrong. I said walking, he said wrong. So I said, you tell me. So he said, anyone that wants to stop there and do dua after pelting the shaitan, for him it's marshian, he should do it walking. Otherwise, it's riding. He says, I left his room and I hadn't even reached the external door and I heard the cries. Abu Yusuf had left the world. Abu Yusuf had left the world. This is how conscious they were. Every second meant something. You know, the great Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah says, I met people. كانوا على أوقاتهم أشد منكم حرصا على دراهمكم ودنانيركم. They had more their desire and craving for time, preserving time, wanting more time, was far greater than your desire and your love for gold and silver. You had Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, a man who's written 270 works, around 270 works. Every work is a masterpiece. They say there's no one that's written a better commentary of the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari than Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The commentary that he's written is called Fathul Bari. Today, nobody has written a better commentary. It's in so many volumes. The man, all he would do is teach hadith or write the hadith of the Prophet. And you know, when he would write these books and these commentaries, yeah, in those days, they didn't have these Parker pens and, you know, it wasn't all digital. You know, in those days, you know, it were wooden pens. So when it got to a stage when he would have to mend his pen, yeah, when he would mend his pen, automatically his tongue would begin with the dhikr of Allah. So that not a single second of his life goes to waste. You have people like Ibn Aqil al-Hanbali. Ibn Aqil al-Hanbali would say, it's not halal for me to waste 1 second of life. It's not halal for me. And he didn't. He didn't. You know what? It got to such a stage that he would give preference to certain types of food over others. Why? Because it would take less time to consume those foods. Foods which took less time to consume, to eat, to swallow, to chew, these are the foods that he would give preference to so he can spend the extra second that he gets writing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why you will find he would give preference to powder, cake powder with water. So he would eat cake powder and gulp it down with water rather than eat bread because it takes time to chew bread. It was because of this he wrote his book Al-Funun. You know, the great Zahabi says, nobody's written a book bigger than this. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali says that some scholars have mentioned that this book was 800 volumes long. 800 volumes long. You had Hafsa bint Sirin. For 30 years, she didn't move from her musalla. You know where she should pray? For 30 years, she didn't move from there. She would only move to answer the call of nature and take the occasional rest, qailula. She would fast every single day of the year other than the 5 days in which it's haram to fast. You know, her slave girl with regards to her would say she's a very pious woman, but she's commit a sin. And you know, her sin is that she spends the entire night, every night, crying before her master. This is what life meant to them. And you and I, research, today's research shows that the average guy spends a minimum of 4 hours on his mobile phone. You know what you do with your mobile phone, and I know what I do with my mobile phone. You know how much you use your phone in terms of the Akhirah. I know now how much I use my phone in terms of the Akhirah. Our mobile phone in general, the use is not the Akhirah. It's the dunya, and a lot of it is nonsense. You know, retweeting things like I broken wing. You're on your mobile phone the whole day. You come back home. You know, your wife's been waiting for you the whole day. She's cooked you a meal. You sit down. You eat. You don't even acknowledge her existence. Or your children. You take out your mobile phone. This is your wife. This is your best friend. This is your mother. This is your father. This is everything. This is life for you. So you take out your mobile phone. She's not innocent either. Or she takes out her mobile phone. Or you both on the mobile phone. And you're sitting next to each other on the same sofa. Hand in hand. You're sitting together with your mobile phones on. And you're miles apart. Isn't that the reality? She's in one world. She's on Mars. You're on Milky Way. You're in a different dunya. You're in a different dunya. Alanki, you're so close together and you're miles apart. You know what starts happening? You know that bond that you once built is becoming weaker by the second. Weaker by the second. You're drifting miles apart. Your hearts, your minds, your soul, your ta'alluq is becoming weaker. And every second passes, you're becoming fonder of others. Aren't you? Those that you're speaking to on the phone, you're becoming fonder of those by the second. What happens? It gets to a stage where overnight this marriage comes to an end. You know when you realize, let me tell you when you realize. This is when you realize. You woke up one morning, she's gone. She's gone with somebody from London and she's left you with 5 kids. Or you know what? When she comes to her senses, you're gone with some woman from Land's End. Gone. That's when you wake up. It's history. Not hundreds. In their thousands, marriages are breaking. This is the root cause. This is the root cause. Them children are in care. If not, they've gone to waste. Because the way Allah, the Nizam of Allah is, you need two to do tarbiyah of these children. Father and mother. And if there's no father or no mother, don't go by what I say. Just look at what research says with regards to where single parent and the problems that you have with regards to the children that are brought in, how it, where you've got single parents. You got people that play games online for hours on end. You know, 30 years of age, 40 years of age, they're playing, you know, things like Call of Duty or other games with people in different corners of the globe. The guy doesn't even know how many children he's got. His wife is doing everything from cooking, cleaning, giving birth to the children, ironing, washing the clothes, cooking the food, and she's earning the daily bread because he can't get offline. To him, this is life. And every day, the games that he's playing, that's how he's behaving. It's having an impact on his heart and mind. He begins to behave like a jungly wild. He takes it out on his children. He's playing the Call of Duty with his own children, smashing them, smashing his wife. How long before that marriage goes? Gone. It's history. What was the cause? What was the cause? It was your mobile phone. It was your mobile phone. My young friends, you know, in this day and age, if you want your marriages to work, and if you want to live as a happy family, I know there's no way on God's earth you're going to leave this modern technology. And nor am I expecting you to do, to leave it. Because you and I are not strong enough to do that. But look, if you want your marriages to work, pay heed to this. Pay heed to this. Because if you don't, you're digging your own grave. If you want your marriages to work, you know, the moment that you return from work or your wife returns from work, there's only one thing that should concern her and that should concern you. And that is the dunya within the four walls of your house and not the dunya outside the four walls of your house. The only thing that should concern you is your wife and your children and nothing else. And the only thing that should concern her is you and her children and nothing else. And the rule that you and I, every single one of us, should have that once you return from work or she returns from work, there should be one rule for every single person in that house. From the father to the mother to the nippers, all mobile phones are turned off. That is the only way you're going to be able to make your marriage work. And believe me, you can do it. You know, some of you little ones may not know this, but those of you are my age, you can live without a mobile phone. Now, we're from that era where there was no phones. Okay? So we've lived in an era where there was no phones. Then there was the boxes outside, the Doctor Who boxes. Then came the phone inside the house, the one that used to have a dial. Then came the cordless. Then came the brick. And look, it's got to Samsung. But I can swear by Allah, and I'm sure all those that are present here of my age, that are now experiencing both types of life. The life that we used to have without all this, and the life that we're having now, they will vouch and tell you that, you know what, that life was better. That life was better. It was quality of life. There was muhabbat. There were feelings. We weren't zombies. There was love. Marriages never broke. It was till death do us part. You know, you knew who your children were. You socialized, you played, you cared, you took care of them. And today, look at it. Don't get me wrong, there's benefits of that technology. I mean, I mentioned last week, I'm going to talk about the harms, not the benefits. You know the benefits. But look at the harms. Look at the harms. So this is the rule that you and I should implement. And you can live by it. We've lived by it, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where there's no mobile phones. So why can't you live where, you know, you discipline yourself and you discipline your wife and your children, where you have this rule? No. When we're inside the house, it's about me and you, and it's about the children and no one else. So I began today by telling you the consequences when you're using this technology for something mabah, something that's permissible. It can wreck your marriage. Look at the consequences. Last week I told you about when you use it for something good. Today I'm telling you for something mabah. You know, next week I'm going to look at the haram things that we do in it and the consequences. Allah give me the tawfiq, Allah give you the tawfiq. You know, like I began by saying, you know, if Allah keeps you blind, you can never see. And if Allah misguides you, you can never be guided. Make dua to Allah that Allah guides us, Allah makes us see what's beneficial for us and what's harmful for us. Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq.